This morning's reading is taken from the book of Jude and is found on approximately page 1027 on the ESV Bibles, in the ESV Bibles that are in the pews. The last book of before Revelation. We start at chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in the in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet, like in the manner of these people, also relying on their dreams, defile flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them! For they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, dear friends. It's a great joy for me to be with you this morning. Thank you for having me. We will keep that passage open. We'll be looking at the book of Jude, but only up to verse 16. It is actually a wonderful short chapter that could easily be looked at from beginning to the end. But Jude has packed a lot of stuff there, and we do need a lot of time to just unpack the whole chapter. So we'll do it halfway. But please do allow me to first join you in wishing Stuart and his family congratulations for the new added member of their family, Joshua. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I've also heard that next week you will be celebrating birthdays. And I know it's not right for me to get ahead of myself, and thank you for praying for our brother Goodenough. And it's wonderful to see him here. In our eyes, he looks fully recovered. Praise the Lord for that. But we know that we are praying that the Lord will just bring him to full restoration of his health. And I've heard by my spies that next week it's his birthday. So thank you very much. I know I'm doing this ahead of time because I won't be here to join you and to drink the coffee and celebrate our brother's life. And we praise the Lord for sparing him, and he is here with us. I also heard that our secretary in the region is also having her birthday. There are a lot of celebrations in this church. We praise the Lord for that. Well, friends, we're looking at this book, and if we have to ask ourselves a question about what you see happening in the world, what is there that that's encouraging to you? I think the answer could be easily say none. When you look at politics in our country and in the world, you will say, oh no, there's nothing to rejoice, to celebrate about in not just our country, but beyond South Africa. Politics has changed and has become something. And if I had to define politics, I'll define politics in such a way that those who are leaders, politicians, are there for us. They work towards looking after us. We've got this term in South Africa, service delivery, caring for people. But it's all over the world. There's a trend that we see that is not making people free in doing what they need to be doing. It's not only in the politic world, friends. I think for me, what is a huge concern is what is happening in the church of God. And I'm putting that in brackets not because I doubt or I want to judge other Christians, but there are really scary things that are happening in the name of Christ. And Jude is calling us to contend for our faith. He's also calling us to discern what is right and what is not right for us. So discernment is not about being suspicious of everyone. So discernment, we do not have a thermometer, a spiritual thermometer, that we go around and test if this man or woman is truly born again. That is God. But we need to be awake. We need to see things that are happening, even within the church, around the world, really. So current trends and religious doctrines that diverge from biblical teaching often emphasize personal comfort, cultural relevance, as if my culture or the culture of us as South Africans is always better than what God gives us. What about some kind of individual experiences that fulfill our happiness, that makes us happy, above scriptural authority? And I think you'll agree with me that today we have kind of Christianity that put that first than the fear of the Lord. Because we do not want people to leave the church. We do not teach and preach. When I'm saying we, I'm generalizing. There are churches that stick to the word of God. But they decide to teach messages that will comfort people so that they come back again and never have their sins challenged. Well, some examples of doctrines leading people away from biblical doctrine just a few of them. The list is endless. We have what we call progressive Christianity or progressive theology. This movement often reinterprets or denies essential doctrines. I think we have seen that in our own background, Anglican church and tradition, where the word of God has no more, it's no longer important. We do what the culture of today decides us to do. And we interpret the scriptures according to our context today. We do not allow the God through his word and his spirit to lead us. Well, over many years, we've been talking about warning one another about prosperity gospel, which is another thing. And again, I don't want us to think that, okay, we need to go around and sniff them out. Who are they? But I think there's a good reason why Jude say contend. And the latter part of the chapter, he exhorts Christians, he helps them there. If you have time, do read the whole chapter on how we do that. But it begins by this warning here today. Prosperity gospel, the teaching holds that God's primary goal is for believers to be wealthy and healthy. And then when we get old, and some of you, you have noticed that when I walk up the steps, I'm very careful because I fell and broke my leg, 2024, beginning of 2024, and it's still haunting me. Sometimes you'll see me with a stick because I'm not healing as I was 20 years ago. And then sometimes people will come and say, well, it's because you lack in faith. Is that the gospel? What we call universalism or pluralism, you know these things, they are in the church, and there are people who preach that, well, it doesn't matter, we'll all get to heaven. As if we design our own path to heaven without Christ. And you and me, we know, dear friends, that God has given us our Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and he became that way for us back to the Father. And lastly, the list is long, it's liberalism, and this is really breaks my heart, because many, many of our people go to universities, even in this country. They've got degrees, and we want people to learn. We want people to know how to open the word for us. People will lead us. But the danger, friends, is that in those theological departments, and please forgive me if there's one here, who is a theological professor, but I do walk amongst them a lot in Cape Town, and they do not really care today. Even students who graduate with high degrees there, their character, their lifestyle doesn't matter. So anybody can go to theological college and graduate with a PhD in theology and be employed to any school, and that's a danger. So Jude is writing to warn the church. So the first few verses from verse 4 to verse 16 is about warning and is giving us examples. So we're looking at this one shortest book in the Bible, the book of Jude. It is only one chapter, as I've said before, but it carries a very strong message. And we can see from the beginning of where my sister read for us that Jude originally wanted to write about the joy of salvation. Verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. And it seems that something happened that diverted him, changed his writing to Christians. Something urgent was happening. He continues in verse 3, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That is the message that I see right through this chapter. Of course, he unpacks in different ways. And while just reading that last sentence of verse 3, I want us to pause and let me pray for us. Help us, Father, not to be distracted by all the things that we see in the world and things that we hear in the world, even the things that attempt to explain who you are and your word in a different way than that that we see from your scriptures and that we have been taught. And Lord, help us to stand firm and stand against all these challenges that seek to take the truth away, confuse your people. We pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you will guide us to your truth, that we will never fall into this temptation of an easy and comfortable life that is not true, that will not lead you to and lead us in eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. So what is it that crept in that made Jude to change his tone and write about warning? False teachings were quietly slipping into the church, penetrating the church, and believers were being influenced in dangerous ways. So Jude changes direction. Instead of writing a celebratory letter, he writes a warning letter. He writes to encourage believers to stand strong, stay faithful, and remain grounded. Friends, this book was written many years ago to the church then. It's God's word for us today. When we look honestly all around us, the message still is very valid for us today. We live in a world filled with many voices, many opinions, and many ideas about truth. Not everything that sounds good is good. That's why we are warned. Not everything that looks spiritual is from God. So Jude reminds us how to stay strong when the truth is challenged. We'll do that this morning just in three small sections. And number one, we look at verse 1 to 4, where Jude is helping us to remember who we are. Remember who you are and stand for the faith. That's what is the message right there in the beginning. So look at Jude 1, verse 1 to 4. Jude starts his letter by reminding believers of something very important. He reminds them who they are in God. He says they are called by God. They are loved by God. They are kept by Jesus Christ. And of course, before he says that, he introduces himself. And it's very interesting the way he introduces himself. I want to read it here again, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. So many scholars who helped us to understand, unpack the scriptures, they say that James is one of our Lord Jesus Christ's brother. But it was so important for him, as we learn from him, that he saw himself as a servant, slave to Jesus Christ. And of course, he says brother to James, who is well known in the New Testament. So what is that saying to us, friends? That this man who is warning us, he sees himself as a servant, slave. I think the word servant doesn't really pick up very well what he meant by being a servant, someone who is bonded to this master. What about you, my friends? I'm asking that question as I'm asking myself. In fact, as I was reflecting just on this last night, I was talking to myself and I was almost in tears, because the temptation is there for me to think that, you know, I'm special. You know, I'm the presiding bishop of Reach, which really means nothing. I am a bond servant. I am a slave servant. And that's how Jude is helping us before he comes to this warning part. And of course, then he goes on to tell them who they are. But before Jude warns them, about anything, he reassures them of their identity. Stop there for a moment. It's so important. Well, one thing that is encouraging us within reach, and I hope that that's not going to change, is this theme, slogan, "Your word is above all." In whatever we do, is it truly his word that drives us? Because we believe that his word is above all. Then he tells them then, contend for the faith. So to contend means to fight for something. This is a very strong word that he uses here. It's to fight for something, but not with anger, not with violence, but with commitment, conviction, and courage. I think those three things, they help us to understand what he really meant to contend. It does mean that we stand up for our faith when it's challenged. But we cannot stand up and people see it if we ourselves are not sure who we are in Christ. And he mentioned, and here are the things, the three things that I think it helps us to understand what he meant by contend: commitment, conviction, and courage. Jude says false teachers had secretly entered the church. They were teaching that God's grace meant people could live however they wanted. They were twisting freedom into permission to sin. They were also denying the authority of Jesus Christ. So this was the main thrust of those people. This is how it is summarized in Jude. Here's a question. In my own walk with the Lord, have I watered down the message of the cross so that it's easy for me to go with the flow? Have I watered down the message of the cross so that my children will like me and come to church with me, even if sometimes I know that there are things that do not align with the will of God and the word of God? Are we prepared, friends, in our own families, in our own community, even in the church, to stand up? Because this false gospel is attractive to some. So if we are not learning God's word and committed to God's word, your word is above all, if we are not staying connected to Christ and standing respectfully but firmly to the truth, we can be easily be confused by all other doctrines that we see in this world. So you cannot defend what you do not understand. That is why spiritual growth matters. We should be worried if I still the same way as I was 10 years ago. I think one miracle, if you want a miracle, is that when you look back, when I look back, I see God's grace in my own life. When those changes, they might be small changes, but they might be things that sometimes are not noticeable. But when you look back 10 years, 20 years, or from the day you surrendered your life to Christ, you see the work of Christ in your life. That's spiritual growth. But it doesn't end when you give your life to the Lord and surrender. It continues. Even maybe 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, what are the things that you are rejoicing about in your own life that you have seen Jesus working in your own life? Maybe that program that you love so much on TV that takes your time from spending your time in the Word. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch TV. I think it was one of our visitors many years ago who said, well, I think it was David Jackman, I can't remember. David Jackman used to come very often and visit us during Bishop Frank's time. And I remember in Cape Town, he says, hey, if you spend so much time behind that screen, do yourself a favor. Go and get a nice break and push it through that screen. Please don't do that, okay? But what are the things that are eating your time, that are robbing you from truly enjoying God and spending time with Him, so that you grow spiritually? So that is why, friends, spending time in your word. That is why, friends, it's so important that even in a local church, I don't know if you call them connect groups here, in Cape Town and TCC, we call them connect groups, where we go and spend time and fellowship in smaller groups, and we open the word and we discuss it, we encourage one another. Why, friends? Why all of this? Because we want to remain faithful in Him. And that's one area that can help us. Here is the eternal truth, friends. Grace is not permission to live recklessly. Grace is the power to live righteously, if you know what God has done for you. Sometimes truth gets watered, as I've said, down, because people want messages that feel comfortable instead of messages that change lives. But real love tells the truth. Even amongst ourselves, if someone comes to you and says, my sister, I've noticed this, maybe the way you speak or some act somewhere, and if it comes to you and say, do you think this is of the Lord? If that person cares about you, if that person loves you, He will not let you do those things without coming and warning you. He will come and talk to you about it. But secondly, what we see here in verse 5 to 11, a strong warning, God takes ungodliness seriously. Next, Jude gives two sets of three examples by reminding believers of historical examples. He wants them to understand that God is loving, but He is also just. Here is the first trio. Rebellion that brought judgment. It talks about Israel in the wilderness. You can read the story of God's people in the wilderness who were redeemed from Egypt, and God even protected them from an angry Pharaoh. But when they stopped believing in Him, God was not happy with him. I do have a tendency of listening to the scripture when I'm driving, and I was driving from South Coast to here, and I was reading that portion where the people of Israel went to Moses and said, hey, why do you want us to be leaderless, not having God? I'm putting that in my own words. And when Moses came down from the mountain, there was a big noise of a celebration because they've created their own God. And God didn't take that lightly. He wanted to destroy them. The very same people that He saved from Egypt, from Pharaoh. Friends, and Moses as a leader said, no, God, please, you cannot do that to them. Rather, blot me out of history. But here's a picture of our God who is just. Here is a picture of our God who will not just allow us. Here is a picture of our loving, gracious God, dear friends, who does draw the line because He loves us. So Israel in the wilderness. What about the rebellious angels? We have read about that. And we can go back to Genesis chapter 6 and see how, in fact, I think here Jude is using other information, the book of Enoch. He mentions that himself. And thirdly, the third trio is Sodom and Gomorrah. We also find this in Genesis. So he reminds them of the Israelites who were delivered from Egypt by God through miracles and power, but later many of them turned to unbelief and disobedience. Their privilege did not protect them from consequences. He talks about angels who rebelled against God, and lost their position. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah cities that led destructive, sinful lives. They were judged. The second trio is Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Friends, I don't need to spend time. We know who Cain was, who followed jealousy and anger that end up in his destruction. Balaam, who chased money and personal gain and refused to take God's word seriously. What about Korah, who rebelled against God's authority? And he was dealt with, him and his family. So I think what we need to be careful and look carefully here, God, especially this last three of Cain, Balaam, and Korah, they were people that suffered through their obedience. So if we can think of what's happening in the world and all those false teachings that lead us away from God, yes, of course, they have received their reward. But sadly, if we do not stay connected to Jesus Christ and his Spirit through his word, we'll be lost. Sometimes people think that being close to a church or raised in a Christian environment that automatically keeps them spiritual safe. But that's not a true relationship with Christ. A true relationship with Christ begins when you realize that you are lost, when you humble yourself and not allow your pride to lead you, greed, jealousy, and rebellion, and surrender your life to Jesus. That's when it begins. Thirdly, friends, recognizing spiritual deception. We need to learn to recognize spiritual deception. Appearance can be deceiving, can lead us away from the true God. I'm sure you see us sometimes wearing our uniform. Have you seen Goodenough wearing his uniform? We've got very nice uniform as clergy in the Church of England. Oh, sorry, Church of England, yes, but Rich SA today. And the bishops, they wave in, you know, more layers. Friends, don't be deceived. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. Yes, we've allowed our denomination to have these uniforms. When we've got special events with baptism and confirmation, sometimes we wear these. But friends, we are all just people who stand before the Lord and who needs to stay connected. And going back to the main theme of this first few verses, that's how we contend for the faith. That it's not what we see on the outside. And we encourage one another to be true to God. So here is verse 12 to 16. Jude now offers powerful images that describes false teachers. He says they are like hidden reefs underwater. I'm sure you can imagine the danger of a hidden reef. Imagine you are busy, you know, on the sea with the ship. It happens to Paul in the New Testament, and suddenly the ship or the boat ends up in the reefs. That's very dangerous. He sees these people as hidden reefs. Well, I thought maybe today what we are facing is more dangerous than the politicians that say to us, don't forget about Jesus. But the danger for me, I think this picture of hidden reefs talks about people when I wear my uniform, when I'm invited to other meetings like all other people, there'll be people who will lead me away and say, but that's not what Jesus meant. I think today you hear a lot of questions. Was it abuse when God gave his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross? And it shocked me. But these are the kind of questions, and there are many other questions that we have today, because we approach the Bible, we approach God with our own understanding. Shepherds who only feed themselves, Ezekiel 34. Clouds without rain. Can you imagine in KZN it was very hot these few days, ago, and you watch at the clouds, say, oh, it's going to rain today, and the rain doesn't come. So he sees these false prophets, teachers, as clouds without rain, fruitless trees. They look alive but produce no fruit. Loud complainers who follow their own desires. So here's a strong, this is a strong language that Jude is using here. But he wants believers to understand that something important, that appearance can be deceiving. Not everyone who sounds spiritual is led by God. Not everyone who speaks confidently speaks the truth. Jesus himself said, we will recognize people by their fruit. So if we don't see the fruit, don't celebrate when you see the clouds, because they might not produce rain. I love trees. Cape Town is not very good with trees. Because you guys in KwaZulu-Natal, you really enjoy God's garden here. Yeah? Everywhere I drive here, you see these beautiful indigenous plants. We don't have a lot of this in Cape Town. And sometimes I want to stand next to the road and pull up a small plant and take it and go and plant it. Not stealing. But friends, if I go that far and uproot a fruit tree and it doesn't bear a tree, what will be the point? Or if I want it for the shade and it doesn't provide me the shade. So he likened these false teachers to those people. Hence, he is warning us. Not everyone who sounds spiritual is led by God. Not everyone who speaks confidently speaks the truth. Jesus himself said, we will recognize them by what we see bearing fruits. True spiritual leaders, true spiritual Christians, they are faithful to the scripture. They have a heart to serve in humility and in love. And this is what shows us that this man is a man that seeks after God. So we must learn to evaluate teaching by asking these two questions. Does it match God's word? Does it point people towards Jesus or to myself? Let me close, dear friends. So these first 16 verses here in the book of Jude gives us three important reminders. First, remember who you are. You are called, loved, kept by God. Stand strong in the faith. Secondly, remember that God takes sin seriously. He desires obedience because he loves us and wants us and wants what is best for us. And thirdly, encouragement to stay spiritually alert. Learn to recognize truth from deception. The world will always offer different messages. Some will sound appealing, some will sound easy, but only God's truth leads to life. As we contend and we take his word seriously and we listen to him and we allow his spirit. Let me pray for us. Would you mind if I pray for us in Zulu today? I'll be praying that God helps us as we contend for the faith. I'll do that in isiZulu, if we are okay with that. Let's pray. Baba uNgcwele, siyabonga kakhulu uSomandla ukuthi uNkulunkulu wethu akekho njengawe nofana nawe. Izwi lakho leli bakuthandekayo ingaphezu kokuqonda konke. Ngiyathandaza ukuthi ngaso sonke isikhathi sizibeke ngaphansi kwezwi lakho. Siyophepha ezintweni eziningi ezikhona la ngaphandle ezifuna ukusididisa sisuke kuwe. Iba nabantwana bakhe kuseni namhlanje. Siyabonga kakhulu ngokukhuluma nathi egameni leNkosi uJesu. Amen.